It's on online.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're hearing this morning there's a deal between Microsoft and Yahoo. It's reportedly an internet search partnership aimed squarely at Google, which has a behemoth share of the online advertising market. Details are expected to be announced today. Kara Swisher writes a blog for the Dow Jones site All Things Digital. She's been breaking some of the details this morning, and she joins us now. Hi, Kara.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. What exactly would this do?
Yahoo would sell search advertising for its own sites and also Microsoft sites, and essentially Microsoft would be the technology underlying it. Yahoo is a much stronger in the advertising arena, and Microsoft isn't, and so they're trying to use their strengths to try to complement each other.
This back and forth, Kara, has been going on for a long time. What was the spark here?
Well, both Microsoft and Yahoo have been in various talks over the years. There was a hostile takeover attempt by Microsoft to buy Yahoo that didn't work out. As they've struggled with each other and with the larger search market, Google has become this massively important search company with most of the share.
And how significant a challenge will this pose to Google?
Well, Google's still over 60%, and this combination creates a 30% market share. It's still not going to be tomorrow. Google's not going to lose all the market share it has. Google has huge advantages because of its scale, and it's hard to turn that around, as everybody knows from Microsoft in the operating system business. So it at least gets them in the game, and that's what advertisers need. They need the scale so that they will advertise on it, and that's what's most important.
So Kara, what do you think Wall Street's going to say about this deal?
Well, Wall Street is anticipating probably, from what I understand, it's a much smaller deal. I think everyone knows this was moving slowly towards being finished, and now we'll see how they perform.
All right. Kara Swisher is an editor, and she writes a blog over at All Things Digital. Kara, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Stocks sent a mixed message on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P 500 and Dow lost a bit. The Dow closed at 90.96. The Nasdaq added about a third of a percent. European markets are mainly higher right now. In Asia, shares were lower today. The Shanghai benchmark took a nosedive, finishing down 5%. The Nikkei managed a small gain over in Japan. This morning, the House Climate Change Committee takes up the issue of intellectual property rights. It's become a flashpoint in international climate talks as poorer nations demand cheaper access to low-carbon technology developed by rich countries. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
Negotiators for a new international climate treaty have fielded proposals that would allow poor nations to break patents on green technologies. The argument is that developing nations can't be expected to reduce greenhouse gas emissions without a little help. Mark Esper is with the Intellectual Property Center at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He says if companies' inventions aren't protected, they'll simply stop inventing.
If they come to believe that at the end of the day, when they create something, it'll be taken by China or it will be taken by India and exploited in those countries, then the concern is that innovation required to address climate change will simply dry up.
The chamber recently set up an alliance to lobby for patent protections on climate technology. Esper says rather than punish inventors, climate negotiators should ensure access to low-carbon technologies through a global fund that would help poor nations pay for it. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Japan's number two and three car makers, Honda and Nissan, reported unexpected profits today. Honda turned a small profit for its first quarter. It was expecting a loss. It also raised its full year forecast, saying sales should improve. Nissan reported a small profit as well, but it wasn't so rosy in its projection. It still expects a yearly operating loss. We're going to start seeing the new 2010 Ford Taurus showing up at dealers in the next few weeks. The original one helped turn the automaker around in the 1990s. This time, Ford is taking a calculated risk and marketing the Taurus as its flagship image-changing vehicle. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samuelton reports.
When Ford unveiled the Taurus in 1986, there was nothing like it on the road. Its aerodynamic shape was unique for a midsize family sedan. It was roomy, it was affordable, and it had thoughtful, unexpected features like side visors. Car and Driver editor Eddie Alterman says the Taurus hit that elusive sweet spot.
It was incredibly good looking, it was built well, and it was fun to drive.
the formula worked. Between 1992 and 1996, the Taurus was the best-selling car in the country, accounting for about 13% of Ford's total sales. Paul Eisenstein heads research firm DetroitBureau.com.
It was the last time Detroit has overwhelmingly dominated the most important segment of the passenger car market.
So what happened? Eisenstein says lackluster redesigns took the car's popularity for granted. By 2006, only rental car companies were buying the Taurus. Now, Ford is putting the Taurus name on what's really a different car. Mike Crowley is Ford's head of marketing for cars and crossovers. He says the first thing to go was the jelly bean shape.
We really need to have a design that captured people's imagination and really changed their perception.
And on the inside, the car is loaded with high-tech options, usually found only on luxury vehicles, like radar blind spot detection and voice-activated navigation. Paul Eisenstein of DetroitBureau.com says this could be a risky transition for Ford. Consumers expecting something similar to the old Taurus could be confused. And this car is being targeted at men in their 40s and 50s. Even if it catches on, it won't be selling 400,000 units a year.
We're talking perhaps 50, 60, if they're lucky, 70,000 vehicles a year. So it's a completely different type of product, and it will have to be judged on a very different scale.
Still, some analysts think this sophisticated sedan could help spark an image makeover for both the nameplate and the company, and that's exactly what Ford wants. By September, the Taurus lover, skeptic, or newbie can get a look at the new model at their local dealership. I'm Tracy Samilton for Marketplace.
And to see photos of the new Ford Taurus, check out our website, marketplace.org. Finally, Apple is telling Google to talk to the hand. Apple reportedly said no this week to Google Voice as an iPhone application. Google Voice offers things like cheap international calls and a single phone number for all of a user's phones. A lot of tech bloggers are pointing the finger at AT&T for the rejection. They say the exclusive iPhone carrier charges for the calling services that Google Voice provides for free. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.